Welcome back. It's a Tuesday, the 21st day of May, but you wouldn't know it here in Colorado, 2019. I'm your host, Mark Call. And let me start off today with a question. Do you remember the attempted mass murder in a gun-free killing zone here in Colorado not too long ago at the STEM school just south of Denver and Highlands Ranch? Well, you're not supposed to, because it doesn't fit the narrative. Oh, on so many fronts. I even remember suggesting, as did so many others, too, that the mainstream media would drop it like a hot potato for that very reason. But as it turns out, that ain't even the half of it. As Summit News reports, and Mike Adams, among others, has picked up on, Devin Erickson, age 18, Alec McKinney, age 16, actually that's a transgender one, really born a female named Maya Elizabeth, opened fire on two different classrooms at the STEM school, or Science, Technology, Engineering, Math, charter school in Highlands Ranch back on May 7, killing one and injuring eight others. And the problem is that after the shootings, news broke that Erickson had posted all kinds of nasty but don't fit the narrative messages, from being anti-Christian to anti-Trump, all the while praising, of course, their exalted mentor, Bathhouse Barry. But now, a judge, Douglas County District Judge Sick Teresa Slade, has sealed the case, put the charges, along with the entire case, under wraps, banning the public from seeing it, as Reuters put it. Now, let me point this out right off the top. Does that mean there couldn't be some kind of valid reason for sealing everything from the public's right to know? Not necessarily, but I'll contend it doesn't matter. Because since Big Brother and his captive media didn't want you to know anyway, now you're not going to find out, and you won't even know why. Other than, oh, how many times do we have to see it, the obvious reasons. Could it be which brands of mass murder-inducing SSRI drugs they were taking? Again, same logic. You're just simply not going to be told, and this makes it even more obvious than usual. Says J.D. Hayes at Natural News, as news of the shooting broke and spread, but oops, then also followed the aftermath, obviously the original intent was to pounce and exploit the latest gun-free killing zone massacre as yet another reason for more of the hair of the dog. But in short, a whole bunch of facts became apparent, two in particular, that were deemed harmful to the Marxist, leftist, progressive, anti-gun ideology, even beyond the usual idiocy. So it was dropped like a hot potato. Fact one, one of the shooters was transgender. Fact two, both of them were far left and hated everything to do with either Trump and or Christianity. And there's this too, as one soon-to-be shadow banned tweet, no doubt, has pointed out. Both of these students are minors, it said. One showing a picture of the latest purple-haired nutcase wannabe mass murderer here in Colorado. And the other, an innocent teenager named Nick Sandman. You may remember him because he got more than 15 minutes of fame for being a victim of media piling on. Continues the tweet under the pictures. One of these students smiled calmly at an Indian while his personal space was invaded. The other is a murderer. So guess which one was smeared by the media for an entire week, sent death threats by celebrities, and had his name released and was doxxed despite being underage. One was pilloried mercilessly and unjustly by the media day after day, and as it turns out, utterly without cause, while the other one, a wannabe mass murderer, didn't get the notoriety he so desperately seemed to want, probably because he was on the media's team, for crying out loud. And now it seems we got a Douglas County District Judge helping out and saying, hey, a media blackout just isn't enough. Something may still slip out that we don't want you peons to find out. And you know what, folks? There was a time, prior to a whole bunch of stuff that wasn't ever supposed to have slipped out, having slipped out, that I'd have suggested she might be bucking for a job at the Department of Just Us. Which brings me to story number two on the day, about an illegal alien from Kenya that's been charged with murder. Well, maybe that's putting it a bit mildly. So far, at least, he's charged with killing 12 elderly women, in many cases stealing their jewelry after he smothered them. And already it's clear why the Waystream doesn't want to talk about this story. As Ryan Saavedra tweeted after it should have probably broken late last week, quote, CNN has still not reported on this. And when I checked this morning, they still hadn't even been shamed into it. In spite of what you'd think might be interesting follow-up. Are you sitting down? The illegal alien from Kenya, no comment, has been charged in the deaths of, so far, 12 elderly women in Texas, says the Daily Caller. And after the 46-year-old former healthcare worker and nurse pretender, Billy Chamirmir, was charged with one count of capital murder in the death of Luthi Harris, age 81, but indicted on Tuesday for 12 additional deaths, 5 in Collin County, Texas, 6 more in Dallas County. Authorities have now told reporters of their plans to review over 750 other cases of unattended deaths of elderly women for possible links to Chamirmir, meaning he could end up being one of the most prolific serial slayers in American history. So kudos again to Natural News for asking the really important question. Do you think CNN would be quite this silent about the whole story if he turned out to have been a Trump supporter killing elderly black females instead? Item from One News Now and The Guardian out of London, although they're not advertising it. Staff there at the politically correct so-called news outlet have been directed, Achtung, to use the term global warming more aggressively and to say climate crisis now or climate emergency rather than the not-so-alarmist term climate change, which they consider to be, quote, too passive and gentle. The Washington Examiner, which dubs the British Daily as, quote, a proud bastion of liberalism in the UK, obtained an internal communication which said, quote, climate change sounds rather passive and gentle when what scientists are talking about, well, they're scientists anyway, is a catastrophe for humanity, said the internal email. So, rather than, quote, climate skeptic, terms like climate denier or climate science denier should be used instead, and say global heating instead of just global warming. Leading some to ask, are they actually pushing facts, or as if it wasn't already obvious, a political agenda? And you know what, folks? It's almost like they put on their tinfoil hats and read the minds of the climate science deniers because they anticipated that objection and added this. Staff was told, quote, we want to ensure that we are being scientific. Let me see if I can get this out, folks. We want to ensure that we are being scientifically precise in rooted facts while also communicating clearly with readers on this very important issue. Unquote. And wow, now we have rooted facts rather than jackbooted facts. And yes, rather than telling staff that it was an outright ban on politically incorrect terminology, Guardian editors simply told their peons to think twice before including words and stories that, well, you know, might affect their future with the leftist rag. But wait, there's more, this time from Mike Adams himself at Natural News. I like the headline, climate change scare stories have now reached the point of psychological terrorism, while scientists, sick, blame this new fear on the climate crisis. I wonder if they were reading the Guardian memo. The corporate media cartels, he begins, have become hubs of hatred and journo-terrorism that target the psyche of the masses. The quack science hoax of so-called climate change is now used to terrorize the public into believing that their planet will somehow be destroyed by carbon dioxide.
Booga, booga, booga.
It might even be more deadly, folks, than dihydrogen monoxide. In any case, CO2 is the very molecule that has been rapidly re-greening the Earth over the past 4 decades, as even NASA has now admitted. Indeed, though, a new round of science has been studying the mental stress of victims of this propaganda effort pushed by dishonest media, and they've reached an even more bizarre conclusion. Scientists, sick, now claim that it's climate change causing mental anguish among humans. Seriously, he says. And I'm not going to quote the study, nor am I even going to go through the litany of things that Adams uses to buttress the case that the left and their ministries of truth have gone literally batshit crazy. All of which leads me to a related story from where else? The Ground Zero bastion of not only politically correct terminology, but dissemination via very careful parsing of words. And maybe it shows us what else Loretta Lynch mob learned on that tarmac in Phoenix. So here's the story, courtesy of Zero Hedge this time. The rats continue to eat their own, and now they say it's Comey versus Lynch. Yeah, you already knew this. Somebody, probably everybody, is lying again. This time it's the former Attorney General accusing the former Whoremeister, James Comey himself, of lying about whether or not she told him to refer to the Hillary Clinton email investigation, sick, as a matter, instead of as an investigation. Back in their now infamous, but never completely and honestly reported, September 2015 meeting. So, just in case you've forgotten, or once used to get your news from the Waystream Media, remember that while testifying, sick, last year at a closed-door House Oversight Committee hearing in June, Comey said it was Lynch who had pressured him into minimizing the significance of the Clinton email probe, that they intended to deep six anyway, and that was an encounter which he claimed left him questioning her impartiality, if you could believe this. And that, along with Lynch's clandestine tarmac meeting on that hot summer's day in Phoenix in 2016, contributed, he says, to his decision to hold a July 2016 press conference announcing the FBI's, well, idiotic and really unbelievable conclusions that we now know were manipulated six ways to Sunday. Said Comey, quote, "The Attorney General had directed me not to call it an investigation, but instead to call it a matter, which confused me and concerned me," he said. "That was one of the bricks in the load that led me to conclude, I have to step away from the department if we're to close this case credibly."
That's my story. Oh, that's my story. Well, I ain't got a witness, and I can't prove it, but that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Meanwhile, of course, the lion Loretta has her own version of the whopper. She told the House Oversight and Judiciary Committees on December the 19th last year, "I did not. I have never instructed a witness as to what to say specifically. Never have, never will," unquote. And let me read that line again with the emphasis on the correct syllables here, because it's all about what the meaning of the word specifically is. Right, Loretta? "I have never instructed a witness as to what to say specifically." Ah, see? There's the little Clintonian twist. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. And just to make the point, she brought it home by adding this. Quote, "I didn't ask anyone to use specific phraseology. When the director asked me how to best handle that, I said, what I've been saying is, we have received a referral, and we are working on the matter, working on the issue, or we have all the resources we need to handle the matter, handle the issue. So that was the suggestion I made to him," added Lynch, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, telling lawmakers she was quite surprised to hear how Comey would later describe the conversation because, quote, "that was not how it was conveyed to him, certainly not how it was intended," unquote. Now, Zero Hedge says here, and of course we know they're correct, somebody is lying. I'll add, yeah, everybody is lying. But let me put it as bluntly and clearly as I can via my favorite old movie analogy from The Godfather. Bill Clinton didn't have to drag a horse's head down the aisle of Loretta Lynch Mob's plane there on the hot Phoenix tarmac to make his point. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. All he had to do was just imply what needed to happen, or, you know, else. But we don't have to say or else, because we're all on the same team, aren't we? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. And, of course, if we're not, well, you know, certain things that nobody wants to happen might happen, but we don't have to say that either. And when Loretta was talking to the Whoremeister himself, she didn't have to bring a horse's head either. Everybody knew darn well what needed to happen, and imagine that, it did.
I want you to rest well, and a month from now, this Hollywood big shot's going to give you what you want. I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
This next story comes from Arjun Walia at Collective Evolution. I saw it via LouRockwell.com, and it's about an NBC journalist who has a heart, has some integrity, and decided he needed to blow the whistle on how the waste stream media, which he was part of, continues to deceive the public. And in the process, it also blows a pretty good whistle on so much of the deep state, which the waste stream, of course, tells you doesn't exist anyway, just like they did the NSA before Ed Snowden. And still do when it comes to problems with vaccines or non-existent chemtrails that you might be seeing up above you. Oh, and did I mention? Nobody rigs elections except Russia, Russia, Russia. Well, says Walia, sometimes those who participate in actions they know are deceptive, that don't create a better world, are beginning to have a change of heart. And as a result, some at least are speaking out. He says we've also seen this with soldiers who realize that they're not fighting for truth, justice, and the American way, much less the Constitution, but instead politically connected drug lords, or maybe Big Pharma or Big Oil. Well, he says one of those who's recently spoken out is NBC or MSNBC reporter William Arkin, longtime and well-known military reporter, best known for his groundbreaking three-part WAPO series back in 2010, which he co-reported with two-time Pulitzer Prize winner Dana Priest on how sprawling, unaccountable, and omnipotent the national security state has become post-9/11. The report dealt with black budget operations, programs that not even the commander-in-chief, much less Congress, has any idea about. Quote, "It's ironic that the U.S. should be fighting monstrously expensive wars, allegedly to bring democracy to those countries, when it itself can no longer claim to be called a democracy, and yeah, good grief, but wait a minute. When," they continued, "trillions, and I mean thousands of billions of dollars, have been spent on projects which both Congress and the Commander-in-Chief know nothing about." This time they're quoting Paul Hellyer, former Canadian defense minister, so maybe he can be forgiven for not knowing about the American Constitution. Their investigation, though, lasted about 2 years, and it concluded that America's classified world has now become, quote, "so large, so unwieldy, and so secretive that no one knows how much money it costs, how many people it employs, how many programs exist within it, or exactly how many agencies do the same work," unquote. Well, writes the author, that was many years ago. And later developments with regard to these programs have come in the form of $21 trillion, and that's with a T, that's $21,000 billion missing dollars from the Department of Defense and the Department of Housing and Urban Development. Michigan State professor and economist Mark Skidmore, along with former Assistant Secretary of HUD, Catherine Austin Fitz, and I've seen her interviewed on this subject many times, found that this money was going towards various black budget programs as well. Writing about that three-part investigative series entitled Top Secret America, Glenn Greenwald hailed it as one of the most important pieces of reporting yet in the war on terror, because he said, while we chirp endlessly about the Congress, the White House, the Supreme Court, the Democrats and Republicans, this is the real U.S. government. Functioning in total darkness, beyond elections and parties, so secret, vast, and powerful that it evades the control or knowledge of any one person or even any organization. And this, adds Walia, is but one of many proofs of the deep state, referenced by countless politicians and academics literally for decades. For example, Teddy Roosevelt, no less, said the following, "Behind the ostensible government sits enthroned an invisible government owing no allegiance and acknowledging no responsibility to the people. To destroy this invisible government, to befoul the unholy alliance between corrupt business and corrupt politics, is the first task of the statesmanship of the day," unquote, and clearly he failed. Lots of other politicians, mostly from outside the United States, have referenced it lately, including, of course, the much-maligned Vladimir Putin. Meanwhile, the waste stream media, doing their job for none other than that same deep state, would have you believe the narrative that all of this is completely false. Don't worry your pretty little heads about it. Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. But Arkin, it says, recently blasted NBC News, along with MSNBC, in an email for, quote, "becoming captive and subservient to the national security state, reflexively pro-war in the name of stopping President Donald Trump, and now the prime propaganda instrument of the war machine's promotion of militarism and imperialism," unquote. To which Walia says, yeah, based on my research, that's what the waste stream has always been, and it's why they were created in the first place. And you can go back to the early 20th century to see no shortage of comments on that score. Arkin stated that as a result of this, quote, the national security establishment not only hasn't missed a beat, but indeed has gained dangerous strength and is ever more autonomous and practically impervious to criticism. Which causes Walia to hearken back to a famous quote from the mayor of New York City in the early 1920s, John Francis Highland, who said the following, quote, the real menace of our republic, see, he knew what it was back then, is the invisible government, which, like a giant octopus, sprawls its slimy legs over our cities, states, and nation. The little coterie of powerful international banksters, although he didn't spell it right then, virtually run the United States government for their own selfish purposes. They practically control both parties and control the majority of the newspapers and magazines in this country. Remember, folks, this was the early roaring 20s. They used the columns of these papers, he continued, to club into submission or drive out of public office officials who refused to do the bidding of the powerful corrupt cliques which compose the invisible government. It operates under cover of a self-created screen and seizes our executive officers, legislative bodies, schools, courts, newspapers, and every agency created for the public protection, unquote. Says Walia, Arkin's worked with both MSNBC and NBC since 2016, and it's great to see he's leaving due to the fact that these outlets have become nothing but the central propaganda arm of the CIA, Pentagon, and, of course, feral buttress against investigations. This network alone consists of former CIA, NSA, and Pentagon officials as news analysts. MSNBC host and former Bush-Cheney communication director Nicole Wallace is one of a number of great examples, and I can't help but think of about half a dozen others right off the top of my head. Like the Communist News Network's Anderson Cooper, with his well-known CIA connections. And then there's Operation Mockingbird, a CIA program exposed to infiltrate mainstream media and use it to influence the minds of the masses literally decades ago, and it still seems to be in full effect today, on a larger scale than anyone can possibly imagine. And perhaps most disgusting of all, in 2018, NBC hired the former CIA chief and known liar, John Brennan, to serve as a, quote, senior national security, sick, and intelligence, really sick, analyst. And there's more. A declassified document from the CIA archives in the form of a letter from a CIA task force addressed to the director of the CIA details the close relationship that exists between the CIA and waste stream media and, of course, academia. And it states that the task force, quote, now has relationships with reporters from every major wire service, newspaper, Newsweekly, and television network in the nation. And this has helped us to turn some intelligence failure stories into intelligence success stories and has contributed to the accuracy, their term, so yeah, sick, of countless others. Furthermore, it even goes on to explain how the agency has, quote, persuaded reporters, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, right, to postpone, change, hold, or even scrap stories that could adversely have affected national security interests or jeopardized sources and methods, unquote. He doesn't say it, but I will. And if they can't stop him, of course, they always have their CIA-funded public-private partners, like Gulag, obviously, Facebook, Twitter, and others, to just plain shut them down. Again, all of this, says the story, led to Arkin publishing a critique of the MSNBC twins in the form of an email he sent to multiple outlets, including The Intercept, Glenn Greenwald's site, where the author of the Collective Evolution story says he first came across it. And at this point, the story includes the text of the entire lengthy email. And if you read the whole thing, it becomes obvious how Arkin really isn't a fan of Donald Trump, so he's in lockstep with NBC on that score. And yet, he says, I'm alarmed at how NBC is so mechanically able to argue the contrary to anything the man says, to even be in favor of policies that spell more conflict and more war, like Why shouldn't we get out of Syria? Why shouldn't we go for the bold move of denuclearizing the Korean Peninsula? Even on Rush, he says, do we really yearn for the Cold War? Oh, and don't even get me started with the FBI. What? We now lionize this historically destructive institution? So, folks, more and more of the honest left, when it comes to real journalists, are seeing through it. And with this, our conjoins the likes of Amber Lyon, Emmy Award-winning journalist at CNN, and former CBS News investigative reporter Cheryl Atkinson, both of whom have spoken up and know the costs. But what they seem to know that most of the knee-jerk left and the captive waste stream media doesn't yet is the far greater cost of remaining silent. Thanks for joining us, and may Yahuwah bless you and yours.